speakers and experts. So that includes you too, David Cavanaugh.
Thank you, sir.
Come on now. Now, Nicola's a good model. You ought to learn from her.
Don't lie. We know it's true.
Doesn't Ted's suit look better today?
Yeah, it is.
That's an awesome looking suit.
Yesterday, though.
No. Tommy's one was better. That's a good suit.
Okay, hey, by the way, speakers, we're just going to have the screen on for a little bit, and then we'll turn that off real shortly. Hey, while the other speakers are coming in, who would like to know how we're doing on the Internet Challenge at this point?
Yeah.
All right. Tom Hua, could you give us a hand and let us see what's happening? Too stylish. All right, so you see, we just approach Autopilot Riches and log in. And you can check out the password there if you want to know how to get into his account. You think so? Oh, good, I hope so.
Sorry, let me do it again. Tom, 75, by the way, that's not my age.
As you can see, if you don't put the right username and password to Autopilot Riches, you can't access someone else's account. It's secure.
Thanks for letting us know.
Well, they're all going to own it from Monday, so it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, spelling. You got to have the right password. Yeah, just temporarily we're going to use the screen, and then good. Okay, so whenever we log in to Steiner's account, first thing we like to do, of course, is check several different things. Affiliates, we want to check sales, number of orders, number of subscribers. Why don't we hold off on the sales? Let's check the number of affiliates that we have. We got 24 affiliates, right?
Subscribers. 197
subscribers, people who have not bought but who have opted in, and purchasers and orders should be. Now, you, obviously, you click in the order link to see your orders. We go to sales reports.
Oh, hey!
He told me he'd do that. Look at that. $8,858. $48 Hey, who wants to know how the headlines are doing? Jason, you did it. Okay. Ooh, look at that. Now,
that's headline one.
Headline one, can you see this, is earning $5.82 per click on the site. Headline two, $4.57. Now, how many calculations did we have to do to figure that out? Look at number three, $6.21 per click. Now, do you think we ought to dump that headline? I'd like to know what this particular headline is for URL number three, too. Go to index three, see what we got there. I bet you that's the Sunday headline, but it's just a guess. We never know. See, that's the great thing. We don't have to guess.
Hey, Ted.
Yep.
Headline one there has a 3.6% conversion rate.
Yeah, you see,
you need a mic there.
Yeah, the dollar value is the commission rate.
The commission rate is only one way to measure the results of a headline testing. Say, for example, in this situation, But because we had multiple products, there are two of them. So for example, Link 1 is converting 3.6%. But because of the mixture of product 1, which is $27, and the other is $297, so it has a value of $5.82 per click value. Now compare with this one has less conversion rate, but obviously less purchases, but most of them are
really interested in becoming an internet millionaire.
That's right, the upsell package. That's why this one's got more dollar value in per click.
So now, on the other hand, were it me, I would leave number 1 and number 3 and just eliminate number 2. Would you do something like that? Or
I'm not sure that I would, Ted. No, I would actually leave these three headlines till tomorrow.
You'd leave the three till tomorrow.
I personally still think they're running really very close, so we don't have a clear winner or loser at this stage, I don't think. But let's see. Do you want to recall the other headlines so we can recall what they are? But they're really running neck to neck. Some of them having higher percentage conversion rate, and some of them are converting less but with higher value of the product. That's the number 3.
And that's the beauty of information. I mean, we can talk about this, decide on it, look at it, analyze it, and we didn't have to do any work or any effort. And so by tomorrow, presumably, we'll have enough data to really make a decision. Sometimes it's much more dramatic than that.
And on this order page, you can see this column here is referral. That's why where you got a lot of Jason Cox. This young boy is really performing very well. And you can see overview, you know, who is doing the referral. And listen carefully to his presentation. This guy's got a lot to share with you, okay?
You know, Jason, I bet you that Jason offered an extra bonus to have them. That's why he's got so many subscribers or purchasers. All right, so that was that part of it. Go ahead, speakers. We can get the blaring light out of your eyes. And because we've got all the speakers here, remember we were talking about the one-on-one guru consulting sessions. So here's how we're going to do that. I'm just going to start with Nicola, go down the row, and every speaker will pull out, I'll probably do it, but we'll pull out 3 tickets. Keep your tickets, get your tickets handy, because we're going to move fast because this is just an administrative thing. But, for instance, with Nicola being the first one, the first 3 people that we call out that are here after last night, you know, we know that, you'll set it up with Nicola. I mean, it's your responsibility to see Nicola today or in the morning. Set up a time where y'all can get off on the side, approximately 15 minutes together. Anything that you want that relates to internet marketing. And, of course, if you've got someone like Nicola who's got a strength in a particular area, maybe publicity, or someone like Mike who's got a strength in a particular area, maybe podcasting, you know you'd focus on that. So are we clear what's happening right now then? Okay, you'll be on your own, but do it. It doesn't work if you wait till Sunday afternoon and say, I've got an appointment with you. Okay, so for Nicola, we're going to try 3 people. And by the way, today, if you're not here, I'm just going to throw it out so we don't have duds in there. I think, first of all, is every ticket 474? It starts with 474. Gotcha. 772. 772. 854. 776. Very popular.
I really don't want these coaches.
I know we'll give him a hard time.
759. Do we have a winner? 759. Got a winner. Hey, by the way, you need to speak up. I can't see very well with the lights. So you'll get hold of Nicola. Good deal. 857. 857. 714. 714.
The numbers are on your tickets. Flip it over.
756. 756.
I might need to leave some tickets for the other guys.
Golly, 802. Got a winner, 802. Good one. 811. Got it. All right, Nicola, thank you. And Brett, we're going to go for Brett. Who would like to get Brett's mind for 15 minutes? 727. 727.
The luckiest woman in the house.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. 713. 713. Got you. Back in the back.
The luckiest man in the house.
Seven. 722. Got it. Back here.
Hey, and he's a copywriter. We'll have a good conversation.
That will be perfect. All right, for the Internet audio guy, Internet video guy, introduced by none other than Napoleon Hill this afternoon. Now, is that class? 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. 763. 785. Gotcha, 785. 814. 814. 818. 718. 720. No, I cannot explain, but 729. 721. 721. Mike Stewart. That's three, right? That's two. Okay. 838. Gotcha. Over here, 838. Very good. Alan Forrest Smith, UK co-host of the World Internet Summit and comedian. 710. All right, 710.
Luckiest woman in the house.
822. 822. Second luckiest. 717. 717. All right. Well, that was smooth. There must be something smooth about you, man. All three hits. All right. Jason Cox. 730. All right. That's what.
Never mind, Steve.
That's what time Jason goes to bed in the morning, 7:30. 766. 766. 798. 798, are you in the house? 839. 839. Gotcha. And 718. 718, are you here? Back in the back. Good. So that's your three, right? Yep. Gotcha. Stephen Pierce. And now when Stephen Pierce tells you to show up on time, you better show up on time. 815. 815. Yeah, me too. 726. Gotcha, 726. 790. 790. 782. 782. Right. And 724. 724. Got it. The luckiest couple in the house.
My best friend.
Oh, yeah. No wonder he was trying to do that to you. 856 for Jenny Armato, Rebel Aussie businesswoman. All right.
Serial downloaded.
746. 746.
Yes.
All right. 768. 768. Over here. Got it. Good job, Jenny. Kurt Christensen. We used to call him the Boy Wonder, but, or the Whiz Kid, but you're pretty old now. You had a birthday last Tuesday?
Tuesday. 32 now.
32. He's an adult now. 788. 788. Got it. 767. Got it. 8:19.
Yep.
All right. Okay, Armin Morin. 7:83. Got it. By the way, Armin quit doing consulting, so this is very special in Armin's case. 8:32. Actually, I didn't mean to single him out. It's special in every case, of course. 7:80. Because I know I've got to live with these speakers, right? 7:80. Got it. 8:31. All right, got it. All right, David Kavanaugh. 8:24.
You do have to admit it if you have a ticket.
7:25. 7:64. Got it.
Never mind.
Two hypnotherapists, by the way. It's destiny. 7:78. 7:23. 8:58. Got it right here. Is that two? 8:03. Back to back. Got it. 8:45. Tom Hua, 8:45. I'd tell you what he said, but it would be impolite. 7:28. All right.
Oh, the crowd's getting cheeky.
8:48. All right. 8:23. 8:43. Got it. All right, Tom, that's three, right?
Yeah, for you.
All right. Ted Siuba, America's foremost internet marketing consultant. 8:05. Now I know how it feels to be rejected, guys. 7:52.
7:52. Did you tell them this is a free?
7:77.
You get a bonus, he does it for 2 days in a row,
will you? 7:58. We know who goes to the gaming institution. 7:58.
Dave,
all right.
Hey, come on.
We'll meet up, Dave. I did?
Yeah,
Brian White.
So who have I got?
You got
Ted.
Okay, Brian. I got
your
Ted.
I got
you, Mike.
Yeah, it's like a song.
All right.
I got you, Ted.
You've been 40 since the same.
7:15. I just want somebody to want me. That's all. Yeah. 7:15. All right, we're on. And the last one is 8:34. God, boy, you need to let me know. You're on. All right. Good. So, again, you will make contact with each of the speakers. They are here specifically to serve you. They are ready. Speaking about serving you, what we're going to do now, we've got a panel of literally the world's top internet marketers. And, by the way, there's a lot of crossover if you happen to sometimes go offline. This is your time. Any question that you have, if it's something we've stirred up with something that's gone on already, if it's something that hasn't been addressed yet, you get to ask it. We've got mic runners. We do ask that your question be on the mic. You can address it to anybody that you want. First question.
Hi, my name is Mike Rogers. How can I make my homepage someone's browser's start page? Or why would they want to make my homepage their start page?
How can I make my homepage someone else's browser page?
Go to javascript.com.
That Sorry, it's not from a technical point of view, but how can I encourage people to want to make my homepage their homepage?
Put the words, click here to make this page your homepage.
Yeah, I've done that.
But I mean, well, what kind of website do you have? Let me ask you that first of all.
It's a sort of vertical level search site, so you can it categorizes various popular sites to make searching easier.
Just make it very apparent for them. In fact, what I would probably do is do like a pop-up box where it's like an Windows error message, a modal type pop-up, where if they click OK, immediately when they come to your page, it'll ask them OK to make it your, would you like to make the site your homepage? Yep. And then if they click OK, it automatically does it. Have the links on the page, have it multiple times on the page as well too. And just every possible way without really getting annoying in doing so.
Okay.
And then, then give them a reason to come back to that page. Make it valuable for them to actually come back to your page. So you want to think of different strategies like that.
Okay, cheers.
Or here's another idea for you, is to actually create a point system where if you, the more times that they come back or the more people that refer to your homepage as well too, they can earn points to win some kind of prize or something like that.
That's a good idea. Cheers.
Good question. Hey, by the way, I forgot to mention one of the housekeeping rules. Because a lot of times there's more than one speaker that wants to comment, or there's, you know, in depth. At 4 minutes, I always shut it off just so we can keep on rolling. Got you right here.
This is a bit of a cheeky one, but could I ask each member of the panel just for one answer that if I said, if you was going to start off in a web business, where would your first stepping stone be? Like, would it be setting your website up, learning copywriting? Would it be whatever.
Why don't we start with you, Tom?
Well, you mean the first thing you want to do? Okay, refer to the special report that I put in your folder. The first thing I wanted you to do is to relax, because you'll be overwhelmed after the weekend. You have so much information, so much ideas, you will have no idea where to start. Before you take any action, make sure you have a good rest, so you have, you know, a good working mode the following day. Actually, it is in the free report, which is written by myself. So
that's my answer. I would agree with Tom totally. And also, before you even open your computer, get a pen and paper out and work out what your focus is. Because my problem ages ago, I used to have a lot of different things I was aiming at, and putting 1% to each, focus 1,000,000% on one thing, and actually just take action.
I would register a domain name. That's a joke, by the way.
They get better.
What I would do first is I'd find a hungry market. I would do the research on the market first. Once you find a market that wants to buy what you have, or even wants to buy something, doesn't even have to be what you have, wants to buy something, then you can create a product to fit that market. It's basically just putting yourself in front of a bunch of traffic. They have to buy at that point.
I would take inventory of what you already have. Take inventory of your, you know, potential markets you could go after, lists that you already may own, your potential JV partners / relationships that you've already built up. Simply doing that is going to open your mind to how to apply all the information you've already learned. A lot of people, you know, when they come to me and they say, oh, well, you know, I'm starting from ground zero. I don't know anything about anything. All I know is I want to make money. Everybody has assets. Everybody has assets in their life that they're underutilized. That, you know, it may be relationships, it may be past business experience. So that's the first thing I would do, is take stock of where you're at, and you'll be surprised at how the stuff that you learned this weekend will tie in with things you already know and have.
I hate doing these, because by the time you get the microphone, it's, you know, like everything they've said. Similar thing to Kurt, I call it possibility planning, and it really is a brainstorming kind of idea where you sit down and just literally write out all the possibilities that you can see yourself being in, because the reality is, unless you can see it happening, you know, you're a long way away from it being a possibility. So I like to suggest to people they start with their own ideas, their own particular areas of expertise and areas of interest, and then you want to look obviously at what relationship that has with the online marketplace, and so the whole online marketing process then opens up.
I would say get a picture of what your future looks like, because there's a gap, and that gap is where you are today and where you ultimately want to be. And if you don't know where you ultimately want to be, you don't know how any of this is going to fit in and how it plays. So you should really get a picture of what does the future look like for you? You know, I mean, you know, what are those gaps that need to be filled? And if you don't know where it is you would like to head to, you're not going to know how to get there, right? So regardless of what kind of web business is going to be, you need to know ultimately in your heart, where is it you want to go? Where do you want to go? Maybe it doesn't even mean being on the web. Maybe it does. But the point there is, once you know where your focus is and where it is you're headed to, there's multiple means to get there. It doesn't have to be a web business. It can be all kinds of things. But once you get what I call strategic focus, you can have all the operational flexibility you need, which means don't get stuck and focus on there being just one way to get to where it is you want to go. Because there's a lot of different ways to get there. But before you can decide what's the best way, you need to find out where it is you ultimately want to go. So I would say before you even get a domain, decide what market you want to reach, find out with you, where do you ultimately want to go? Where do you ultimately want to be in your life? And then work backwards and ask yourself, what needs to happen for you to fulfill that picture? Who do you need to serve? What value do you need to provide? Where are those people at? Does that make sense?
The last thing you want to do is do something that sounds like a good idea. Because the Sinclair C5 seemed like a good idea and millions of pounds was put into it. So avoid good ideas because good ideas rarely work. What you need to do, same as what Armand says really, find out where the traffic or the market or buyers are. And then when you find out where they are, you just supply the product. Because there's always a hungry flow of traffic somewhere. It's like Jason taps into gamers. So he's found out there's a massive market for gamers, so he starts providing gaming products. Because they want what he's going to sell. So you really need to find out where the buyers are first. Then develop, or get somebody to develop, or buy a product in that's going to feed that market. Never try and create a market. Don't try and reinvent something. It just doesn't work. You can take something to the next level. That's what I would do.
Okay. How many people have got an email that says you've got cash or you've got an order? How many people have that? How many people have never had an email like that? You've never had an email from PayPal that says you got cash, and you never had an email from a shopping cart that says you have an order. Okay. First thing I do Monday morning or Tuesday morning after you've relaxed is go to goodkeywords.com and download their little tool and research niches. I was making a joke this morning about English tea. There was 8,000 searches for English tea last month, and very few Google ads, guys. I mean, there's a niche there. What would you do that you love so much for free? Really soul search. And look and see if people are looking for that and then create a product for it. If you don't want to get that tool, go to inventory.overture.com and just look at what people are searching for. And to go out in your garage and find something you'd throw in the trash and put it up on eBay and get some cash. Because I did, and I'm amazed what people will buy on eBay. And there's something about getting that first email that says, somebody who doesn't know me from somewhere else in the world bought something of mine. And if you get that feeling, hold on to it and build from there.
I have two now. I totally agree with the thing about researching a niche, but I know that wouldn't necessarily work for me because I might find a really hot niche like with the guinea pigs, but I'm not really, I mean I'm quite interested, but I'm not that interested, you know. So what I might do is, if I was a visual person, I would start a blog about something. And in fact, I'd even start a blog about the process of trying to find something to start a blog about. And if I was an audio person, I would go and start an audio blog, because I think you can actually release creativity by getting it out on paper. And I think if you do it online, it's even more powerful, because by the time you've thought about what you want to do, you'll have collected a community of people who are interested in what you're doing. So, you know, have a blog, attach a mailing list, and just start writing or speaking and just see what happens.
Okay, and then my last advice is just disregard everything you've heard along this and just listen to me. No, my advice is this. I want everybody to write this down right now. Grab your pen and your piece of paper and write this down. This is the first thing I think you should do. Write this down. I will never Talk to David Kapp. No. I will never give up on my dream. I will never give up on my dream. And after you've written that sentence, I want you to sign your name underneath that right now. Who's going to actually live up to that statement? Well, that's a good intention. Now comes the hard part, and that's fulfilling it, okay? Keep with it, folks. Just stay with it, and you will succeed. Because you know what? So many people just fall out. They give up, which leaves all the pickings for you guys.
Brett said what I was going to say.
Oh, come on, David.
No, actually, he did. I thought I was going to make it all the way down around. But will you run into some obstacles, even if it's nothing other than frustration with a software program? Doesn't everybody want to make internet income? Doesn't everybody say that? Why aren't they all doing it? It's because they don't really want it bad enough. They haven't made that absolute commitment. They haven't quit playing. They want it if it's easy. So Brett said what I was going to say. That's because we're both copywriters. Yes. All right. Hey, that was an extremely good question. Normally I chop it off. I'd be the hatchet man, but that one didn't get chopped at 4 minutes. Right back here.
I've got a question about the standard sales letter websites that I know all of you guys advocate it because you say you've tested it and it works. But doesn't the sales letter where, you know what I'm talking about, where it's just all centered, you've got big headline, you've got fantastic copy, you've got a powerful guarantee, you've got a sale price that ends in the figure 7, doesn't that actually put some people off? Because I've, over the last few months, done a bit of, you know, searching, and I've come across all sorts of websites, and as soon as I see something that's all centered and big, long sales letter page, I think, ah, internet guru behind this website. I wonder if they're actually, you know a lot about the product that they're selling, or whether it's just that they've got it from somebody else. And so I'm, you know, maybe a little bit savvy, but as everybody else in the public starts to get savvy as well, they're maybe going to think the same. And so I'm just wondering whether the sales letter website has always got a future.
It's going to fail miserably.
Especially when you start using it.
It's going to fail miserably when all of us start using it. It fails for miserably for all of us right now. Absolutely, 100%. In fact, it fails 95 to 97% of the time. But on that 3 to 5%, that's where you get filthy rich.
I think what you have to remember, there's really no resistance to long sales copy. Because regardless of what anybody says, long sales copy always outpulls short. And the reason is, when you actually write copy or a sales letter or something that's 47 pages long, which the World Internet Summit page was, you're writing for a specific individual who is interested in that product. So whether you're writing about the latest guitar implements or glasses or whatever, you write the copy specifically for that target. So forget Armand's right. You know, some people need 400 people to a web page to get a sale. So the other 399 people who came to that website were not in the slightest bit interested in the never-ending copy. But say the sale is worth about $5,000. You've made $5,000 out of one visitor. That's where you make the money. You make the money on the 1 or 2%. You don't make it on the 98%. And that's where you're going to hear about affiliate programs and that kind of thing. That's why they're so powerful on the web.
I need to take you to task on this as a copywriter. You need to get over yourself. And I say that with respect. Here's why I say that. You're prejudging a sales letter as being a con, so that when you see it, you think some internet marketing guru has written it to some big con to get you in and spend money. And you're coming to it with that frame of mind. So that's okay if you're studying it, and you know the techniques we use, but you're putting a negative slant on it as if we're trying to do something underhanded. Your sales letter is a salesperson in writing. Okay, that's all it does. And you might know a sales letter back to front, and as soon as you see one, you know it. But all your customers aren't sitting there every week and going through all websites and studying marketing and coming to seminars like this. And those are the guys that really matter, because you don't matter in the process. Okay? And we all know each other's sales letters, and we probably wouldn't read each other's sales letters because we know what we're all on about. But we're not the target market, and you are not the target market. Very important point.
Yeah,
real important.
Good point. So
okay, I just like to add this thing. I definitely agree with what the copywriters said and the genius Abel Morin's opinion. Now, to be able to... and look, but we wanted to stop wondering. Don't wonder anymore. If you think your long sales page with that big, bold headline is not working, put a shorter one with a smaller font. See if it outperforms the one that you have. So we don't have to guess, or we don't have to wonder what the market will react. There are facilities available for you just to that test. So we sure if it is still performing between 3 to 5%, as Armin Morin said, which is good enough to make you healthy rich. Now, if it's not, then you replace it with a better one.
Okay, real brief, Armin, your last one on this.
Did you just say there's a bald headline? I just want to make one comment. You said you've seen a lot of different website styles out there, and there certainly is if you go to any place on the internet. Remember this, statistics on an average website on the internet today, average conversion rate is 0.5%. A 0.5% conversion rate. We're talking utilizing this style 3 to 5% if your sales copy is decent, of course. But so there's a difference. There's the average, 0.5%, or there's 3 to 5%. Now, a 0.5%, a 0.25% increase in your conversion rate literally can mean thousands of dollars to you in your traffic, depending on how much traffic you're getting on your website. But, I mean, just a small minor. So when you're talking 0.5% versus 3 to 5%, it's a major, major difference. And plus, here's the other part, one more thing, is that one of the other aspects, too, that many of us are doing, I know I picked it up from Steven, that is I make them give me their name and email address before they even get to my long email address, my long email, my long... sales letter, that's it. So you don't even have to know what it is. You just have to get them there. But I capture the name and email address, and I get 50% of the people, roughly, to give me their name and email address before they even see my long copy. So now I can actually follow up with them and send them back to my long copy over and over and over again. In fact, the emails that I send them is my long copy broken up into shorter copy in an email to get them back to the long copy.
Long copy doesn't work in the video game market very well at all. Kids won't read that stuff. I think in the next 5 years, you're not going to see long sales letters. You're going to see infomercials on websites. It's all going to be video.
And infomercials are long sales letters in video.
Yep. But they're video. All right. They're different. Yeah.
Good one, guys.
But it's a really good question. It's a really good question because you've got some really good answers out of that.
Well done. Next one right here.
Hi. I have to say that as a newbie, I found this very, very interesting indeed. And I don't know if any of the panel want to answer this question, but I'd quite like to know what you consider to be your biggest mistake that you've made in your career to help us not make the same ones.
You missed the last webcast. We didn't even download
it. Shall we do that?
I think Brett's got a pretty funny one.
It isn't a Brett answer.
Okay. He's the biggest snake I ever made. I had a CEO of a scrapbooking.com contact me, and he had a 400,000 strong database, and he actually wrote me an email. So he wanted to promote my product to his database, and I said, yeah, brilliant, no problem. Talked on the phone, and he sent me an email, then he phoned me up straight away, and I thought, this is fantastic. And so what I did, I actually then forwarded it on to my wife to say, hey, check out this guy. I can't believe this guy's got $400,000, you know, 400,000 strong database, and he wants to promote my book. And I put some lovey-dovey stuff in there to my wife, you know, and then back to more stuff about the CEO, and then I put lovey-dovey stuff in, and then I sent it off. But then I realized that I didn't hit the forward button, I hit the reply button. Yeah. Thank you. So, man, what I did, you would never, you could have seen me, I was pulling cables out of everywhere. And it was too late, it was gone. And for 15 minutes I sat there thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? I was so embarrassed. And anyway, he sent me an email back saying, well, Brett, I'm glad you're excited about it. So the biggest mistake I've made is to hit the reply button instead of the forward button.
I'll tell you what though, Tom. There may be some other people in the audience who haven't heard that. Can you bring us a download link tomorrow so that we can all...
Yeah, sure.
listen in.
So you want to explain what happens with the question, the answer to the question? We have the
mic.
Everyone.
We in fact had most of the speakers sitting here answer that question in a quite an extensive, you know, session. So we can give you the download link perhaps tomorrow on the stage so that everyone can listen to the biggest mistakes we have made. Hopefully that will be helpful for you. Okay? To save time, we move on and leave that question answered tomorrow.
Very good. Got one back here in the back.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to sort of thank the panel and the presenters of last year's WIS UK event, because Mark, my business partner, and I benefited 110% from everything that we learnt during that that event. So we took away everything that we learnt, and we went away and we found a huge expanding market. We found a product that was a consumable product that could generate a recurring revenue. And we've also struck lucky in so much as the timing is absolutely right on the nose, because this expanding market is about to boom across the globe. And we're now looking to leverage everything that we've learned from the World Internet Summit and in so much to generate an opt-in, ethical opt-in database list, an electronic list of email addresses, so that we can globally market this product that we have got. And the problem that we've got at the moment is that we have begun to post our Google ads, we've got flycatcher pages, and we've begun to deploy all the techniques that we learnt in the last World Internet Summit. But what I'd like to ask, if possible, each and every one of the panel, what would they recommend be our best tactic to generate and explode our electronic list in the quickest possible way, so that we can deploy an ethical marketing campaign to reach out on a global scale?
Anybody want to take that on? We don't have time for everybody.
Well, I guess it depends on your product, really. If your product has the potential, and I'm sure there are related products or services that is available online or through, you know, those big companies who already have your database. So I would say that if you give them something with value, again, a small sampler, I mean, I don't know your product, but give them a report or a sampler of your product. I believe it's digital or something that service related, that you can give them a free trial period or something to offer to those big companies, big players in that market who has potential customers of yours. Then, you know, the only condition is leave your name and email address here so that we can give you that free bonus, and at the same time keep you posted if we have more bonuses, so that, you know, this is how you go and find a few big players in the marketplace who's got your potential customers. You can have their customers become your direct contacts. That's how I would suggest it.
Paul, I know your product, as you know, and Mark. I would put up a page collecting their name and email, like Armin said before, because, and then basically find out off them what they want and how you can fit your product in with what they want. I mean, at the end of the day, I know what you're selling, but the thing is, you have to explain to them why they are going to benefit from what you're selling, how they are going to make money, how it's going to make their life easier, you know, and maybe subscribe to an autoresponder system that you can teach them step by step why they should become involved with you. You know, but I'll talk to you later, because
we have actually got a squeeze page, and we've got APR in behind that squeeze page to collect, so that is already in place.
You know, if you want to build a massive list requires only one thing and one thing only. That's massive traffic. And if you don't have the traffic, you need to get it from somebody else. It's the simple answer. If you don't have the traffic, what you need to do is you need to search. This is how you do it. This is how you guys do it. Think about this. I built an opt-in list this week alone in the last 4 or 5 days of 6,000 people. Did I do any of it myself? No. What I did is I released a product and I did a joint venture with other people. What did I do? Remember what I said a few minutes ago is I grabbed their name and email just before they saw my long, boring copy, right? Well, I grabbed those 6,000 email addresses, not from my list, from someone else's list, from my affiliates list, the people I joint ventured with, you know, from Steven's list and from other people that promoted that product to date. And so what you do is you pick your topic, you go to Google, and you search out all the websites on Google that are who potential joint ventures that you would complement what they're doing. Okay, you're looking for complementary products, and that could be a wide range of products. You write down who their contact information is. You don't email them, because if I get an email that says, I would like to do a joint venture with you, delete, right? Because I probably get 200 to 300 of those a week. Now, if you called me up on the phone, made an appointment, sent me a package, you know, not an expensive package, just something in the mail, and then that's going to get my attention, or go through the proper channels in order to set the appointment, or called up and said, you know, I was just on the phone with Kurt Christensen, and he told me I should call you. I'm going to be more apt to take a call because you know Kurt than it is if just blindsided. Try to find who they know. So then what you do is you make a list of, say, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 different people, right? Once you make a list of 100 different people, you give them the reason why they should promote your product, which I'm saying is set up your own affiliate program so that they can get compensated for sending people to your website. Now you have all these people sending traffic to your website through either their newsletter or from a link on their website, and you're building off of their traffic. Tell a person this, that you want to buy all their exit traffic. I want to buy all the people that leave your site. Go to your competitors and say, I will buy all your customers that leave your site and that don't buy. Now, that doesn't mean they're not interested in that product. It means they're just not interested in buying that product. So then what you do is you send them to your page and you use it as an affiliate program. You pay them in order to get their exit traffic. And if you did that with all your competitors, what would it say globally in that marketplace or that industry about that, about your website? Well, if all your competitors are sending people there, this must be something good. If they go to 5 different competitors and your site pops up off every one of them, and when they leave, wouldn't that be a good thing? You're going to get them one time. Because if you see it once, it's an accident. See it twice, possibly. See it 3 or 4 times, now there's something got to be up with this website. I better read this website a little bit more. And then they're going to opt in, get on your list, and now you build a big list. And how much did it cost you to do all that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing except a little time and a little energy.
All right, those were some very, very solid answers for sure. Back here.
Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. I also use this opportunity to thank Mark. He's somewhere there. I met Mark like 2 years ago. We went to an investment seminar and I'd forgotten about him. And bang, I got a mail and I'm here. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you. This is a great opportunity. Thank you very much. Question is, I'm an internet a website developer. I design conventional websites for, you know, small to medium-sized enterprises. Now, how do I integrate these strategies we're talking about, you know, like the sales copy and stuff, into an existing website for an e-commerce solution, for instance? How could you guys give me some insight into that, to an existing website?
I think you have to be a little bit more specific, because the e-commerce, I mean, when you say e-commerce, I mean, for like what type of products or what type of service? Are we talking like a mall? Are we talking like a shopping cart? Are we talking about for a single product, 2 products, 3 products, or?
Yeah, for example, I'm working on a gym. I'm developing a website for a gym, and he wants to sell supplements for bodybuilding and all that kind of stuff. So how do you integrate that?
Okay. One of the things that you can do is this. First of all, what's an important thing? If a gym is trying to sell supplements, are they trying to sell memberships to the gym or are they trying to sell supplements to the gym?
Supplements.
Okay, is it a physical gym?
It is a physical gym.
Okay, how many members do they have?
They have about 1,000.
1,000 members?
Yes.
Okay, the first thing I would do is I would grab the names and email addresses of all the customers that they have, the 1,000 customers that they have right now, and then I would simply send them all an email telling them, because you're a member of this gym, you can receive this product at a discount. That's the one thing, the first thing I would do. Then I would make it viral. Somehow I'd make it viral, starting with 1,000. I have 1,000 base now, you know, 1,000 people, and I would make an incentive for them to refer other people. Do you know 10 friends that also would like to lose weight? If you know 10 friends that would like to lose weight, we will give you an extra month's membership at our gym. How much did it cost the gym to give them an extra month? Zero. But what did they sell? They got 10 more email addresses off that per person that actually goes ahead and does that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, so you want to build a list, an opt-in page. Again, that's what we're really referring to on the main page of the gym. You start off with the base. Again, we have 1,000 people that we can build off of on one side. But then on the other side, what we want to do is we want to put this online. We want to create names and email addresses in order to send out to.
And the way that we do that, again, is advertising. Everyone here, I mean, if you want to build an opt-in list, if you want to build traffic to your website, if you had a physical store that you opened up tomorrow morning, in order to get someone through the door, what's the one thing you have to do?
Advertise.
Advertise. That's the only thing. And you can do it with pay-per-click, but you can also do it much, much faster, as I was talking about just a moment with joint ventures, is that I can get another gym. If you have one gym, right, there might be another gym that doesn't have cell supplements, possibly. So what you can do is you can joint venture with them saying, hey, well, how about if we send an email to your list, and what we'll do is we'll pay you a commission for every product that's sold through your list. And you can create this network of gyms of people that are already interested in what it is that you have to offer.
Thanks. Great.
What I'm hearing from you is that you are currently a product-focused web page or website. You need to turn that into a solution-based web page. And the solutions need to be, I hate to use the term niched, but you start with a headline that talks to a specific audience about a specific solution that you have to a specific problem. I had to make this transition myself because my physical product business was product-focused when you hit the website. And so I had to blend direct response marketing in with a catalogue kind of site. And so I started with a headline that talked to the specific target group, and then I had different headlines for different target groups that would want that mix of product.
Give it away until you get it back. Give it away until you get it back. If the product's so good, give it away. And give it away to those people, and in return, get the testimonial and get hundreds of testimonials. Blow people away with how fantastic this product is because of all these people saying it's fantastic. And they're not saying it's that all the other products are fantastic. Your product wins. Give it away until you get it back.
Can I give you two simple tips that you can make money almost instantly? You are a website developer, correct? And you service different people with different websites. Not necessarily Gmail. You have a lot you are going to develop for them. Okay, correct. If you are in the position developing people's website, which gives you a very good opt-in that those business owners or individuals, they rely on your expertise, correct? So you can simply join those affiliate programs to host your customer's website. Say, for example, my hosting company will give you commission for every account that you sign up with us month after month. That's one thing you can do. Join venture with one of the website hosting companies. Doesn't have to be mine, which I hope so, you know. But doesn't have to be mine. And number two is autopilot riches. You can recommend Autopilot Riches facility to your customers. Tell them why they need Autopilot Riches, and you can make a commission again on a monthly going basis. Yeah? You get a commission just for that, yeah, for life.
Okay. The question you posed is a hard one when you're talking about, you know, physical product world versus most of the stuff that we're talking about are information sorts of products. If you want to see a website that integrates the both of them together and probably one of the world's least likely direct response markets, go to ediamondbrokers.com. That's a business I used to own. You would all have to agree that diamonds, I mean, you can't write an individual website for each diamond, right? I mean, you're selling a product. You know, they're looking for a specific size, shape, and color. But what we did on that site, instead of having the sales page or, you know, the direct response portion be about the diamonds, it was about the diamond education. So if you go to that site, you'll notice we have an opt-in capture page, and that's all we do. We just try to get their name and email address so we can follow up with them continually. And then all that happens is once we have them on the list, we have daily diamond specials. I mean, so it's nothing different than any other direct response business in the world. We always have something that we can sell them day in and day out. But it's, you know, the whole website isn't a long sales letter because, you know, we have 4,000 different diamonds. So in some cases, you have to do a hybrid sort of model and blend in direct response here and there where it's applicable. Yeah, so.
Okay, Nicola is the last comment on this one.
What I'm hearing is that you're the usual kind of website designer at the moment, and I'm hearing a real opportunity here for you to offer like a premium platinum service. So, you know, you carry on doing what you're doing for companies who just want a basic website or a nice website, and then you start to educate your existing customers. And in fact, you go back and educate your existing customers about what more you can do for them now. And, you add a whole other level of service. And eventually you'll become like, you really will clean up because not hardly any website designers are offering all this marketing stuff. So, you know, you could really charge a premium for that, I think.
Very good. Good question. Next one right here.
Hi, it's a question for Kurt. I'm from an SEO background. Can you share some of your latest search engine optimization strategies that you've learned from James Brausch?
Say that again. I didn't hear the first part.
I'm from an SEO background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, sorry to hear that. SEO, search engine optimization. It's a field of people who specialize in trying to figure out what the search engines like, what ranks it highly in the search engines. Armin said the answer is just buy a directory generator. So now he doesn't get a talk. So basically, we do statistical research on search engine data. In general, I'll give you a very quick list of things that absolutely positively on Google, it's about a 17% increase. On Yahoo, I think it's a 19% increase. You want to have a short domain name. Keyword must be in the domain name. No hyphens. Do not name your page anything at all. Your website should be whatever.com/keyword, not whatever.com/keyword.html, not or PHP or anything like that. I'm trying to think of other things like that. They're just absolutely dead simple things. Most of the things that you learn in SEO on the search engine, Google especially, are exactly opposite of what actually appears on the engine. There's about 4,000 different factors, but we'll actually be talking a little bit about that on Sunday. But just in general, those are some very, very, very quick ones, and we can talk more about that one-on-one if you'd like.
Very good.
Anybody else want to answer SEO stuff? It's so fun.
Right here.
Thanks. If you are using a product like Armin's Directory Generator, is there a way you can drive low-cost traffic from Google AdWords to your site, make more money from Google AdSense? So, for example, casino sites pay... Well, no, they don't use Google AdWords, do they? They don't let you. But you know what I mean? So you drive traffic, say, for 5 cents to your site, and your Google AdSense is paying a dollar. Is there any simple way of finding out that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, you need to uninstall Directory Generator. It has a virus inside of it. It may not have... No, just kidding. That's a new thing that's coming up. One of the things that you can dramatically and drastically improve your AdSense earnings is by using a thing inside your AdSense account called a URL filter. This idea right here, if you guys apply it, is worth thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars, literally. Because I know, because it's made me thousands of dollars in the last month. All you basically do inside of Google AdSense is you filter out the cheap ads. On any topic, say if you have a topic, what's a good topic? Weight loss. There's going to be certain advertisers at the top of the list that are willing to pay $5 a click or whatever. But there's going to be a grand total of maybe 100 advertisers. Well, the advertisers at the end don't pay very much. You know, they might be paying 5 cents a click. So by using the filter inside of AdSense, you basically can block those cheap ads from appearing on your AdSense site. Does that make sense? Did I totally lose everybody?
Yeah. How do you find out what the low-paying ones are then?
Okay, so you're trying to talk about arbitrage between paying for the traffic and then converting back into AdSense. Okay, use a URL filter, so all your clicks will be worth at least, usually on average, about 3.5 times more if you filter out. Here's how you find the low-paying keywords. You just go into the Overture tool that tells you exactly the bids, and then you just filter out. I usually filter out the bottom half. So on something like weight loss, if there's 100 advertisers, I'd filter out the bottom 50 advertisers. Sometimes there's a huge drastic price break where, you know, the top five guys are paying $5 and then it drops to 10 cents. We just filter all those guys out. Because if somebody's advertising on Overture, what are the chances are that they're not advertising on AdWords? It's very low. Because the only people that now use Overture are pretty advanced people. They can deal with Overture and all the editorial hassles. But the reverse isn't true. If somebody is on AdWords, that doesn't mean they're on Overture. So simple answer, use URL filters to block out the cheap paying keywords and only pay 5 cents per click on AdWords to get traffic to your site. And you can do that by one of the ways that you can get into your stats logs if you use cPanel or NSIM. And every month you're going to have about 4,000 new keywords on average, just random combinations of things that people type in. You add those every single month into your AdWords advertising list. And we'll talk more about this on Sunday.
How many people followed that whole scenario? Okay, a lot of you. That's actually pretty surprised. You know, the key thing is that what Kurt's going to talk to you about on Sunday is this. Is so dramatic. I mean, it's literally changed my life. Added over in the last year and a half, seven figures to my bottom line. And so you want to pay really close attention and first thing and second thing in the morning on Sunday. So just watch it. It's good. Thank you.
All right, good question. Got another one here.
Hi, I'm Naheed. Is it on? Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the quality of the information that we're getting. It's really fantastic. My question is, I received an email recently from an internet marketer saying that because a lot of people are using the autopilot riches, a lot of people are actually blocking the autoresponders that they're receiving. Now, and they're recommending you get an autoresponder from your own website. Now, I'd like to ask the panel comments on that.
I recently switched all my systems over to the same system as autopilot riches, and here's why. First of all, what they're saying is the exact opposite of what's true. If the worst thing that, in my opinion, you can do is have your autoresponder sitting on your own domain name, all it takes is one person to complain, and all of a sudden, you're done. It's over. So that's the absolute worst thing you can do, in my opinion, to handle your autoresponder system. Now, with autoresponder riches, what's happening is that they're on whitelists with all the different ISPs. That's what I said. Didn't I say it?
Yes. Autoresponder riches.
Oh, auto. Well, if I okay, just go to autoresponder riches. It'll be up later on tonight.
It'll be a link through the affiliate program to Autopilot Riches.
But Autopilot Riches, if you use that system, they're on the whitelist of all the major ISPs, and so they are not going to get blocked no matter what. And I know they have a team of people that constantly keep in constant communication. For example, AOL is a classic example. You will get blocked in AOL with like just one, two, or three requests into it in order to get, and they'll block you, the whole thing. Your domain is now done. It's over. But these guys will already have it figured out and no problems. And plus, there's going to... Well,
yeah, okay. I'm doing a full presentation on Sunday, but what Armin said was exactly right. Pardon me, Martin Wales is up the back. Hands up, Martin. Yeah. Martin Wales is the business development manager for One Shopping Cart, which powers Autopilot Riches, and I'll show you a lot. But Armin's exactly right. Brent, who sits in the office... who actually monitors all the calls, etc., and Cliff, all the guys, any time whatsoever they see anything, any spam complaints, anything, they're onto it. They'll actually get on the phone to AOL. They'll get on the phone to Google. They'll get on the phone. And as Armin said, they're on the whitelist, which means whoever's told you like that stuff, really. And even if it does happen, it's going to be switched straight away. They'll get onto it and they'll get it right off. And the good thing about autopilot riches, what the gentleman was saying before about the gym supplements and that, you can add products, you can add autoresponders, you can set up your affiliate program, you can track your ads, as Tom's been showing you. You can do everything, and you don't even need a computer. You can go to an internet cafe, log in, username and password, and get straight into the system and run a business without even your own computer. So who thinks it's the perfect solution to actually use? See?
What does whitelisting mean? What does blacklisting mean?
Whitelist, good. Blacklist, bad. Whitelist means that you're on the approved list to actually be able to send email into the ISP. AOL is, again, one of the most notorious ones for blacklisting somebody. Blacklisting meaning that you're never going to get an email in. For example, I have an AOL account. If I feel there's something wrong with my domain, I'll send myself an email to AOL and see if I'm blacklisted. If I am, then I got to jump through all kinds of hoops in order to get whitelisted again. So until you do something wrong, then you're on the whitelist. Then if you did something wrong and someone reported you as spam, you'll automatically be moved to the blacklist, and that's when you have problems.
Now, there's another side to this that you ought to know, since most of us in this room do have or will have autopilot riches, and that is if you do spam with it, you'll be caught instantly, and you will be eliminated from the system because we're not going to put all the other clients at risk, and we've already got most of that handled because we're not newcomers. But you do cause extra work, hassle, and headache. So if you're thinking about spamming with that system, go get that other
autoresponder system.
There's one other thing that we forgot to mention to you. It's a little bit off your subject, but if you have got a big list, and say, for example, you decide to make the decision to get autopilot reaches, blah, 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 you want to import your list into the system from another system, okay? Rob Bell, the president and the CEO of One Shopping Cart, will talk to Ted, and you have to verify that those are real people and they are opt-in on your list. You haven't just gone and bought a list of someone who don't even know you, and they will import a third of those people a day. And if they get any spam complaints whatsoever, they'll cut you right off the system. So you can see that's why they're whitelisted, and that's why they give you quality results all the time, because they really monitor and protect your best interest.
And by the way, that statement, you know, well, you shouldn't use autopilot riches, is like somebody saying you shouldn't use Front Page. You should do all your coding by hand. Or Dreamweaver, yeah. Nicola, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I mean, we took over a client just recently who had a very, very big mailing list that was truly opt-in, but she hadn't actually kept in touch with them. You know, this is about building a relationship as well and getting them used to hearing from you, because she hadn't really spoken to them for about a year and a half. So the first thing we did was we went and we started importing into Autopilot Riches a third at a time. And what you have to do is you have to offer people incentives, because when you import into Autopilot Riches, quite rightly, they send an email asking the people if they really, really want to be on the list still. And so if you can offer an incentive, then you're going to increase the chances of them saying, yeah, okay, I'll carry on being on the list, especially if they haven't heard from you for a while. And actually what happened was she said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to actually just send out a blanket email to my existing list, and then we'll try and, you know, move them over like that. And her whole site was taken down. You know, she had three complaints through AOL, and her whole site was taken down. So, you know, there's no way around this. You've got to do it ethically.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't spam. I mean, you'll never hear that. Hey, we're going to run for about 10 minutes more, so that means maybe two, maybe three more people. Back in the back.
Hi there. Thanks, guys. It's been great. My mind is fried already today, and there's another 2 days to go. A quick question going back to the URL names. And are you saying keeping the web name short? But what about the choice of whether you go .com, .net, .whatever? Especially if considering if you want to pick a short name that's like training, which is really specific to what you want to do, and maybe the .com and the .net's gone already, what do you feel about other ends?
According to the statistical research that I have, and I recently told the Kurt, is that on .coms, .com is what's going to rank actually better, except on MSN, which is actually a .org. Is that right, Kurt?
The actual facts are .com is a positive ranking factor on Google. On Yahoo, it doesn't matter, .net, .org, .com, it's all the same. On MSN, yes, .org has an advantage. That maybe because the search engine's so new, they haven't adjusted their algorithm, but we basically design different sites for each search engine now. We feel that there is three major search engines now with MSN. So. Okay. Armin said to clarify having the keyword in the domain. There's only three real things that you can affect on how your site ranks on the search engines, right? You have what's on the page, you know, the keywords on the page, the actual HTML, right, that you build. What's pointing to the page, as in inbound links, right, or articles or mentions in a press release, things like that. And then there's what you call what is the page, the address, which is the URL in this case. All those three combined go into the ranking factors. The actual URL, which domain name you have, like I said, is about 20% of the whole shooting match on all three engines. So, okay. Yeah, keep it short. Most of the best domains usually are the keyword plus a couple characters.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. The next one is here.
Can I just add to that? I run a web company. We host a number of... Is that on?
Yeah.
Is it better? Okay. I run a web company. We host a number of sites that are primarily targeted at the UK market in the States. And what we found is that whenever anybody comes, you know, the site's the primary URL is the .com. What we do is whenever traffic lands at the site, we automatically switch that to .co.uk. Because what you find here is that people primarily use google.co.uk to search. and the .co.uk sites, .com sites hosted in America will get very bad listings. But as soon as we switch those over to .co.uk, we get much better search engine results on google.co.uk. So it's kind of a workaround for the fact that we've got cheap hosting in the States.
Thanks for sharing that. By the way, there's another thing when we talk about what domain name should I have. If you can possibly do it, you always want a .com or, of course, in this case, .co.uk. Because have you ever heard of anybody accidentally going to the browser and typing in www.org? But if you can tell someone, my site is training.net, and if 70% of the time they go to their computer and type in training.com, that's the way the errors happen. In fact, we had one of our vice presidents recently that cited the wrong URL, and vice president. And he cited it with a .com on TV, so it happens all the time.
Ted, a question on the same theme as web URL extensions. Have the panel heard of .ws? It's being promoted quite heavily here in the UK along the theme that you can have your name with a .ws extension. Now, clearly what you've said earlier in some of the questions. Comments?
Well, yeah. First of all, the reason why it's being so heavily promoted is the way it's being promoted. It's an MLM program. I mean, that's the bottom line. The guys that actually run it actually made a deal with Western Samoa, and that they got the right to market the .ws extension. And it's all marketed 100% through an MLM program. And that's why it's being marketed so heavily. Now, the thing is that you always try to get your name. I mean, your first name, last name, as much as you possibly can. If some of you are going to have a pretty tough time, some of you have, John Smith. Change your name. If your name's John Smith, change your name. That's the best bet you got. Because you're not going to get johnsmith.com. But if you have John Dashmish, the John Smith, John Smith, blah, 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 .com, you can, the real John Smith, the only John Smith, whatever it may be. But you can just try to get your name itself. But I wouldn't use, I would agree with Ted, when you're talking about, and don't forget .ws, it's .com overall. And there's two things. First of all, Kurt talked about one thing about the different variations for search engine optimization. That's one aspect. Ted talked about having a .com because that's what people are going to remember. On the internet, if you're marketing offline, you're definitely going to want a .com. I think you should have your .com any way you look at it. Online, I don't think it matters .com, .net, .org, whatever. It's in your marketing, meaning in an email, because you're clicking on a link. You're not physically typing it in. So there's different applications for your domain name and how you may use it.
Very good. Got one.
Sorry, just with relevance to the .com, .uk scenario, Google really being the search engine of choice and really rewards people for being as relevant as possible. I recently heard, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, that people do have quite a bit of success if they go .org on the AdWords, because people seem to think because it's an organization and information and supplying information that it gives them a little bit of a boost. Would you have any comment on that at all?
I had a client in Australia, pardon me, that did that because he's actually running an organization, and I won't say it because he doesn't really like giving it out. It's a Christian one. He doesn't give it out. But he put it in some of the Google AdWords just primarily to Australia, and he put it .org, and he got a lot of people emailing, and he came back to me and he sent me a few little testimonials. Oh, seeing I saw .org, I thought you're an organization, I thought you're a big company, and I thought you were this and that. So I think sometimes those things do work. But again, it's just testing and measuring, because I used to do a lot of website design in Australia, and I lived in Broadbeach, which is on the beach, etc., and so I targeted accommodation houses, okay, because they've got a lot of people and they've got the money to pay the bills. So for those people, I wanted to get a broadbeach.com.au to show them as specifically if you were going to Australia, it was a .com.au. But then there were other business like restaurants, and if it was like McDonald's.com on Broadbeach or something, well, they didn't really need the .com.au because they didn't want to actually say, well, we're right in Broadbeach and that. But all I'm saying, look at the target market, look at the kind of product you got, look at the business you got, and sometimes you want them to know it's a .co.uk. And sometimes if it's a generic web business, well, you don't mind if it's a .com or a .org. So you really have to test it and measure it.
On Google AdWords,
And Google AdWords itself, one of the things that you want to test is, you know, just like you're talking about right now, about testing a .org as opposed to a .com, a .co.uk, whatever it may be. But you also want to actually test the way the actual words are spelled out on the actual domain name. For example, if it's World Internet Seminar, you might go, I doubt it will fit, first of all. But it would be, you know, you might want to capitalize like World Internet and Seminar, capitalize those three letters, then capital just the W, and then leave the I and the S lowercase, and then reverse it, just the I and the S uppercase. And then you keep on playing with different combinations like that, because you will find out that the craziest combinations will actually pull in the most. And you, it's not even the ad. It's actually just the URL of the actual ad. So, I would, again, it's back to the same thing over again. Test literally everything that you do.
Very good. And this is the last one for this evening.
It's a question to, I think it's Jason, yeah. Is that Jason? Yeah, hi. The question basically is that I'm trying to get some JV partners from a retail business, from other retailers, yeah. And I've tried sending letters as probably, I think you recommended better say, I think I was reading an article where probably you recommend sending letters. I've sent out over 150 letters, and I've got no replies.
What are you selling?
I sell pens.
Gold pens?
Yeah, I sell, yeah.
Sweet. So yeah. What kind of people, how are you picking the 150 people you send it to?
Basically what I do at the moment, I just find out other complimentary people.
Give me an example of like a few.
Think for example, I try to send a letter to someone, probably another retailer, but who is not selling, say, what I'm selling, say, not selling pens. Yeah.
And are they selling, like, really expensive shoes or something?
Yeah, something similar. But I think not to get any, I mean, no one has replied me at all.
Okay. The easiest way I would do, the big, so you guys already have a customer list?
Yes, we've got customer list.
All right, the fastest way to land joint venture deals is not to send out letters. It's send out a letter to your list to promote a few key people who, after you've sent them business, they're going to turn around and be like, hey, thank you very much. Let me send you some traffic back. And once you start making that the focus of your business, instead of trying to bulk 150 letters out and just focus on one or two key people who could send you a lot of traffic, and get a lot more personalized, I'd actually send them a gold pin saying, hey, here's your, you know, I sold a bunch of your shoes, and, you know, by the way, I have a really nice gold pin that you guys would really like. Or even think about how you could package your gold pins with what they're already selling.
But is that not too much of a risk? It's too expensive to, say, test it.
It's not too expensive if you're careful about who you pick. I've sent people $100 bills just to get their attention.
Would anybody like a sample of that?
Yeah, how does that work?
Try it out on me. No, really, though, the thing I would do is get, you know, you don't want to spam a JV letter to 150 people. You want to send out 5-10 really personally written letters. The first paragraph is going to be, you know, I checked out your store. I liked how you guys sell shoes. You know, your shoes are better than everybody else's shoes because of this and this and this. By the way, you know, I think your customers would also really enjoy a pen like this. And if you don't, you know, give them one, you know, I'd at least put a really nice picture. And again, people want to do business with people who send them business. That's, you know, that's what. What are you trying to find? You're trying to find traffic. Everybody wants traffic.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a deal fast, you know, look at who 2-3 really good partners would be and find someone about the same business size as you. They shouldn't have the hugest mailing list in the world. They should be about the size of your company and do cross promotions. And that's, you'll get a lot more success that way.
Thank you very much.
I just have a comment on that. Is that one of the things that you're doing, you talked about how risky Jason's idea was. Isn't it risky sending 150 letters to people that don't even know that they want a pen or not? That's risky. What you know, what Jason's talking about, I think, is definitely one of the ways to go. But also, why not finding out, go to all your competitors and saying, hey, you know, how about all your customers that don't do business with you anymore? How about if we made an exchange for our old customer list for your old customer list? And then, yeah, do it on a joint venture type basis where you pay them a commission. And, you know, you could get their list. They're not going to do business with them. They might as well be able to monetize that list somehow. You see what I'm saying? And by doing that, you're building up a list instantly. It's like just getting a list, a free list. Here, take it, because they're not going to buy anything from me. But these people have already demonstrated that they're interested in pens or trade out leads, get opt-in lists from other people, and then take their lists and market to their list. And again, on an affiliate basis, and send it to their all the leads that they couldn't close. And now you try closing those leads. And all you have to do is send out a real simple question to them: why didn't you buy from so-and-so? And if they tell you why they didn't buy, then you tell them, this is the reason why you should buy from us. And then you insert why they didn't buy over there and as the solution. And now you're the hero. You've got the business. And it didn't cost you a dime still.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking about Stella McCartney when she first went working for Chloe, the house of Chloe. And she designed these sunglasses, some of us may remember, where they're quite big sunglasses, which were going to cost a few grand, and they had a little heart with diamonds. Do you remember them? Anybody remember those glasses? So she was a kid who came from college with no real life experience in the field. So what she said was, she said, look, what we're going to do is we're going to get some of the prominent magazines. We're going to get OK, Hello, and all the big magazines, and we're going to pick out a list of all the superstars. Now what we're going to do is we're going to get these glasses, put them in a great case, package them up properly, put a ribbon around the box, and send them to the superstars for free. And what's in OK and Hello magazine the next week? Elizabeth Hurley, Posh Spice, and all these guys are wearing these glasses. And what happens? Suddenly they're selling thousands and thousands of pair of glasses throughout the whole of the world. Her first marketing campaign. And really what you need to do, if you can't afford to send out a free product to an absolute specific target, well, it doesn't sound like the company is as healthy as maybe it should be. Because really that is something you really need to look at. And I was thinking before as well, you wrote to these retailers, would you find a Bentley car for sale in the local Ford garage? So maybe you have to look at the target and the reason that they didn't respond to the particular... Maybe the offer wasn't strong enough anyway, but I don't know. But you have to analyse it really and find out what went wrong and how can we improve the offer or the response.
Very good. I tell you, we had some good questions, folks. Now, usually what happens is these things start slow and then there's a lot of people who want questions answered. And, of course, we're moving on because we want everybody to be fresh after, you know, after the night. So, these speakers will be available. You've seen them around. They're not strangers. You've got some specific questions you can ask anybody. And we will have another hot seat session and another panel session. So, there'll be more time. And tell you what, too. Did these guys and gals, did they deliver? Thank you. They appreciate, they work on, what do they call that, self-esteem. So you just helped their self-esteem. They really are experts, though, and we just saw another instance.
I work off commission. Remember that.
Two announcements about tomorrow. Jenny Armato is holding a session at lunch. It's the last 20 minutes before we come back in. Of course, you know, you'll always know exactly what time we're scheduled. And the name of tomorrow's session is How to Earn Ongoing Income from Your List. Anybody interested in that? Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to ask Brett to give us a little warm-up about what happens tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Yes, indeed. Remember, folks, what am I going to teach you tomorrow morning? How to holiday in Hawaii anytime you want using none of your own money. I start at 8:30 on the dot. Do not be late. That very session could actually make the whole weekend worthwhile if it hasn't been worthwhile already. All right? And I say that with respect to all the speakers. All these presentations are brilliant. But just that one session alone will actually give you something you can go away with and will be worth the price you paid of admission alone.
If they sleep in, I'm after you, so it's all right.
Yes, if you miss me, you've only got David Kavanagh. So make sure you see me at 8:30.
All right, folks, day number two. We're very happy that you could be here with us. Once again, let's give them a good round of applause. See you in the morning.